Hello, everyone. I tried to turn everyone and again into the same word. That was pretty wild. Every gun. Hello, every gun. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is Skull's Cast, episode number 10, wherein Medibot and I discuss a game that some of you may have played called Kirby's Mass Attack.
Alright, let me start off by getting some of the facts out of the way about Kirby Mass Attack. Number one, it's a Kirby game. The word Kirby in the title. Mm-hmm. Kirby appears on the front cover of the game, and when you put the game into your DS or what, DS Lite or DSi or 3DS or basically anything with the letters D and S into it, Kirby will show up on your game video screen, and it's a Kirby game. Second thing you need to know is, let's just go ahead and call it best game of 2011, because it's freaking amazing, and let me tell you why.
Well, let's hold off just a second from that. Because for one thing, you said it was a Kirby game, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I inhale enemies and get their powers, right?
No.
Do I control Kirby in, like, a platforming setting, and...
Kinda. There are definitely platforms,
okay.
And Kirby definitely runs around a bunch.
And so there are familiar enemies, like the Waddle-Dee and the Waddle-Doo.
The like, Waddle-Dee does definitely make several appearances throughout this game.
There are many other familiar faces as well. A Kirby game. I mean, really, it's the jumping around and inhaling enemies and getting powers with, like... light
yeah,
puzzle
none of
elements
that shit
about
happens, because this is also not a Kirby game.
Very well. So, why don't we just, for the benefit of those who have not played Kirby's Mass Attack, Mass Effect, why don't you go ahead and describe how the game is played?
The best way I can describe it is this is a game controlled entirely with the touchscreen. If you played Canvas Curse, also on the DS, you've played a different game controlled entirely with touchscreen involving Kirby. The idea is that you got this one tiny little Kirby, and he's super cute. He can't fucking do anything because he's 1/10 of Kirby, because Kirby got split into 10 little Kirbys, and then 9 of them just get straight up murdered before you even get to start playing. But you get your one little Kirby, and he can sort of run around and do things, and you tap on the screen to sort of give him ideas. And he'll do his best to make what he does, you know, close to what you're doing. And you can also, you can pick him up and sort of carry him places, or you can flick the stylus to just sort of fling him at stuff. And that's a great way to get things done. Kirby is hungry as heck. And there's, like, apples and bananas and melons. And if you can find tomato, you're in business, because tomato is Kirby's favorite. And you eat enough delicious things, and then another Kirby appears, and you've got two of them. And they both, you know, when you tap on the screen, they're both like, yeah, yeah, let's go there. And they sort of run on top of each other, and you keep eating more delicious treats as you keep going, and you get 3, and then 4, and then eventually you're allowed to have 10 Kirbys just in this sort of pink, ever Kirby-ing mass. And they make little squeaky sounds, because, like, Kirby already sort of has a squeaky noise, and it's like, alright, now let's make him 10% smaller, and so he's going to be 10 times as squeaky, because that's how ratios work. That's math. That's just mathematics. And you tap on things, and you fling them into obstacles or enemies, and you try not to let them get murdered by all the things that are huge and want to murder them. And then in the level, you want to just get to the end of the level, but you also want to find medals that are hidden in the level, because they're hidden, and you can collect them, and that's great, and also you need them later for a thing.
Right. Okay, I guess I can supplement that with a couple things. For one, your goal is to collect 100 of the fruit in order to get one more Kirby, up to a maximum of 10 Kirbys. There are some things in the game, some little mechanisms that require a certain number of Kirbys, and if they do, they will have that number printed on them. Usually it's straight up 10, but also there's like 5s and 7s all over the place. An apple is worth 1 fruit, a banana is 10, a melon is 30, And the maximum tomato is 100, or by itself, an entire other Kirby. When your Kirbys take damage, or get like hit or knocked by things, they turn blue, and if a blue one takes damage, he turns into a ghost. You can flick a living Kirby of any color at a ghost, and he will like grapple him back into the realm of the living. You get
will pile drive him back into action.
Yes. There's a lot of pile driving. Like when you touch a big enemy, they'll all sort of like gang up on him and you know do the little like
start punching,
brawling,
they get punchy.
Like knocking, punching, and then when they have punched enough, they do a big like body slam, crunch, and they go crunch. And the crunching down is pretty important because there's lots of obstacles in the game that can be destroyed by like pile driving force, but not by flicking Kirby force. So that's rather important. If you already have 10 Kirbys and you get 100 fruit again, it will give you 10,000 points! Because there's points, too!
Yeah!
Yeah.
Video games have score in it. Yeah, a video game that doesn't keep track of score, yeah. I don't even know what you're doing.
Right. Oh, there are lots of levels. In order to enter a level, you have to have a certain number of Kirbys. Yeah, and every level has its number that you need. So there's always one level that requires only one Kirby, so that if you like lose all your Kirbys, you're not totally locked out of all progress. And generally speaking, when you switch between worlds, the minions of the big bad guy take away all but one Kirby. So they like
the skulls.
You get
skulls will steal your
they Kirby. Are skulls, and that's I think why we're really talking about them. The little skull kids.
Yeah. And they will attempt to grab Kirby with their little skull hands and then take them away.
Mm-hmm.
You never see what happens. You just know that it went away.
Yeah. There are medals, as Medibot said. The number of medals in any given level varies from 3 to 5. Every single level has a shiny medal in it. In order to unlock the final area, you have to collect all of the shiny medals. But you don't know that until the very end, where like the rat squad, they're tagging along.
DeRoach, who's the leader of the Squeaks.
The Squeak Squad.
The Squeak Squad.
Okay, yeah, the Rat Patrol.
Which is pretty alright.
The Rat Patrol can give you hints about where to go, and they just sort of watch you go and do, and they're the ones who like reveal at the end. By the way, you need all of the rainbow medals in order to make the rainbow device that will take you to the alternate dimension where Necrodius lives. Blah! And
you need all the rainbow medals to form into the giant, like, rainbow-shooting laser cannon that breaks their skull-o-matic shield,
yeah,
and lets you into the skull zone.
So there are lots of little set pieces throughout the levels, and many of them get reused, but some of them don't. So you have a lot of levels that sort of build up in complexity using the baseline system of movement, which is tap to direct Kirby's, double tap to direct them harder, and you can also tap on things. It's very like playing, I don't know, with a mouse. You click on things.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. It would port fairly directly into a Flash game where you're just like, oh, go there, little guys. And the more of them you get, the more collectively idiotic they are. Like, you have one of them, and you're able to direct him very accurately and very well. Any more than that, and like a certain percentage of them will react accurately. And then you have like two or three who are just lazing about. And
those
sort
of stragglers.
Kind of, picking their feet up, doing little dances all over the place. And this is cute for the first two or three worlds worth of levels where the challenge hasn't really kicked in. And so there's just lots of big open space and set pieces that aren't deadly and monsters who have attacks that do things other than damage you. For instance, a little like poison bubbles where they'll trap the Kirby and you have to like tap on him to get him out. Or even the fires. Like, the fire doesn't immediately do damage. You get him into water.
Fire just lights you on fire in an extremely adorable fashion, and you have to go find some water to put yourself out.
And you put him out, and then you're good.
And he's fine.
But later when they get to the falling and the crushing and the chomping,
Oh yes, the crushing.
The crushing. That's
there's lots of crushing.
Then you start to more appreciate just how idiotic your Kirbys have been behaving this whole time, and how much of an obstacle the very baseline system of movement truly is to accomplishing anything in this game. Ugh.
Well, it's when you have 10 Kirbys as opposed to one, and they're all trying to get to the same place on more or less the same path, there's a good chance that, like, before all of them get through, you know, the path will get filled up one way or another. Like, if there's, you know, a bunch of breakable blocks in your way and you just break one, you know, and you try and just make them all run through at once, no, because some of them will be standing on the other ones and they will not fit in through the gap.
Yeah, they do sort of touch and overlap each other. Kind of like StarCraft rules for stacking units, where you can force them all on the same place, but then they'll just sort of, like, spread out and get to a comfortable distance. So these Kirbys tend to form a little pile, really.
Yes, and an extremely excellent pile.
The tightest you can get them is when you click and hold. You can gather them all up and draw a line, and they just sort of float with the line. It kind of replaces the power to fly. So you can't hover, that you have to hoist them with the stylus that way. That can also be very frustrating. In particular, the really tall cactus enemies in the second world. Those were the most frustrating obstacle. I mean, of the whole game. Like, all the other obstacles that were actually more difficult to get past, those, I'm like, okay, whatever, it's a late level, it's a challenge. This was the world number 2 out of 5, okay? This is still, like, everything else about these levels is really easy. You know, they come across, like, a cactus enemy stack number 1, and he has his little hat on, and he will, like, poke out his spikes sometimes and then retract them sometimes, so you have to time your attack so that you get him, okay? And it's really easy, because he's only 1. And then you come across one that has, like, a stack of 2. And the one on the bottom is always spiky, so you have to get the one on the top. So you have to be careful to avoid the one on the bottom. And so on, up to the cactus stack of 4, which is nightmarish.
Yes!
Because...
I loved those cacti. I loved it.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I didn't love it, and then you can tell me why you loved it. I didn't love it because... the very control system of the game prohibited me from ever solving them accurately. Like, I could not get away without taking damage from a Kirby simply because the controls were so horrendous and the Kirbys were so idiotic. I could, like, you know, you can flick one Kirby up there, but because the game is very modal about how many Kirbys it takes to pummel a guy in one go, you know, one Kirby won't do it. With this cactus guy, he'll shake him off, and then you can throw one up again, and he'll continue to pummel, and you can do that a couple times, and it'll eventually work. But the ideal number is 4 specifically for those cacti. For other enemies, the ideal number is larger, but you have to get 4 up there. Any fewer than that, and he'll shake them off at least once, and he throws them on either side, including past the cactus stack. If that happens, then the Kirbys will try to reunite the next time you give them any order at all. Because if you flick one, right, that's a flick, but the others saw the touch. So they, the one guy gets flicked, the others go to where the original flick point was, because that counted as an order to them to go to that point. So if you have, like, 9 Kirbys over here, 1 Kirby on the other side of the stack, it doesn't matter who you flick, someone is going to run into the cactus. Because if you flick the guy on the other side, all 9 of them will be like, "Ooh, he ordered us to go there. Let's go." There's no way out of the situation. So you can't flick destroy them, but because by the time in the time it takes to accurately flick 3 to the top of him, then he's already shaken them off. So the 4th one is traveling and also gets shaken off, and they're on all sides of it. Ugh. Okay, so I tried another approach. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll levitate them all, you know, I'll hoist them up above him a little bit, and then they'll all fall on him and get him, right? But since his ideal number is 4, the others get ignored. So the first 4 of them start pummeling, and then the rest fall on the spikes. There's no way to approach this enemy.
Okay, let me tell you about my experience with the quad cactus stacker.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you how things went with me. I flicked 4 Kobes to the top cactus and destroyed it.
You know, if you're just gonna lie to me, then that's fine, I guess. I mean,
not all at once, mind you. Not always 4 Kobes at once. I never experienced the thing where, like, the flicking would be interpreted as a move order. That's genuine news to me.
You just weren't paying attention, because you were flicking the one Kirby, and the others would always react. Did you ever have, like, your Kirby separated out when that would happen?
Well,
because they definitely react that way every single time. I've witnessed this hundreds of times. I don't know how you could miss that. It's horrible. It is a gigantic, huge flaw in the game. It is massive. I can't stand it when it happens, especially since I want very much to like this game, because it's so unique, you know? There's nothing that I've seen that's quite like this, and it's really unique and sort of enjoyable, so I want it to be good, so that it gets, you know, if it's good, people like it, it gets popular. And then we get more games that are like that use this new system of control, this new, like, vector of gaming. I want to like it a lot, but it has some problems, and that's one of them. The cactus stack.
Your problem number one is the quad stacker.
Yes.
Quad cactus.
Quad cactus. There's nothing wrong with it as an enemy in concept. It's just that enemy in particular reveals this kind of inbuilt flaw in the control setup and in the scheme of the game. I mean, I was at some times able to defeat the quad cactus without taking damage. It just took for fucking ever. And this was when, you know, this is like the second or third time I've gone through the level because I'm trying to get all the medals. As I was going through, and this is a slightly different method that Medibot and myself employed, I was going through with the idea that I should collect all the medals as I go. I just had that idea in my head. It's never stated in the game, it's just sort of, oh look, a thing to get, I should get it. And I wanted to always get, the reason I wanted to get them like the first time that I went through a level was that if I let myself like miss one and then go back, I'm going to forget all of the level and all the little nuances and tricks and the timings and the enemy placement and everything. I'm going to be out of practice. So I'm giving myself the best chance of doing well at the level if I just do it again right away. And in the case of a few levels, they outright require that you go back into them and do them multiple times in order to get all the medals. Like there are just some outright branching paths in some of them, and it's like, medal this way, 2 medals that way, go through the level twice. So I also didn't feel bad about, you know, doing the levels multiple times in order to get all the medals. Just going all the, did I say doing the medals multiple times? I might have.
No.
But I meant to say doing the levels multiple times to get the medals. Level, medal. I guess they don't sound that similar that I can't just pound them out like that. And that's something I did like about the game. You know, I appreciated that choice, and it felt to me like I could take any given level, right, go through it once, and get some of the medals. Sometimes, for the easier levels, I could actually get all of them, and then I was done. And then, for every level, I could go through twice, and at the very least, figure out where all of the medals were, what I was supposed to do to get them. And the third time, I could do it well or greatly, and then be done. And then, be like, yes. So then what I mean to say is that I was going through trying to get every medal as I went along, and because of that, I didn't want to spend too much time at the levels. I was like, yeah, let's get this done, I got my 10 little dudes. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's move fast. Because I'm doing this 3 whole times. I want to make each of those times as small as possible. Whereas, from what Medibot, from what you told me...
I basically took the complete opposite approach. Reviewed the medals as something that was entirely secondary to the act of finishing the level. I would never replay a level immediately if I had, you know, just missed a medal, or like, oh, you know, I know how to get that medal this time, or, oh, there was a branching path, I should immediately go back and replay the level and take the other path. No, I figured, like, oh, okay, I can play a different level now. I got lots of different levels to play, because I wanted to play all the different levels, because all the levels were different and interesting, and I'd always want to see what the next wacky thing the level designers thought up with was, which meant that once I got to the end, and the teenage mutant rat patrols sharks.
Yeah, they reveal the terrible secret of space, basically.
What's that?
They reveal the terrible secret of space.
Right, they reveal the terrible secret of space, and you need the luster cannon or whatever,
right.
And you need to power that with rainbow medals. And I was missing a ton of those. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then I went back and did a whole bunch of stuff, and that one level where, like, you go underground and unseal the tomb. I played that one a bunch.
Is that the one that has the gigantic
trick.
Gear guy, and then you have to balance him out
to
reveal his weak point?
You have to refight 2 mid-bosses.
Yes.
In their hardest forms.
Yes.
There's the hardest versions of those mid-boss. And then you fight a new mid-boss. No, there were 3 mid-bosses, aren't there? Yeah, because there were the 2 chains and the key.
Okay, the chains and the key.
You get the key from the tunnel worm.
I guess it's been too long since I actually played that. I mean, I remember the mini-bosses.
Right. So there's the eel, the gear, and the tunnel
worm. One thing about how you play the game that I failed to mention is that the levels... And Medibot said there are lots of levels to play. He's right. They immediately, upon like getting enough Kirbys, they send you to like 4 or 5 different levels as options. So you're on the map and you can pick which one you want to go to. And you have like outer rings, and then it goes into smaller inner rings. So at any given time, after you complete one level, it's not like one after the next. It's like, okay, the first one, and then you have enough Kirbys to go to like these 3 levels. And you can do any one that you want. Also, each level has a little picture in the corner giving you a little preview of what it might be like. So
that scared me off a few of them, and when I got to the end of the game, like, there were quite a few levels that I'm like, oh, right, I never went here because, like, it looked icy, and there was a big mean dragon in the back, and I wanted to do the nice levels.
Yeah, I never avoided a level.
I avoided scary-looking levels that I did not need to complete to unlock further levels.
I didn't realize that until way late. I think, like, in World 4 or something was the first time that I unlocked a boss before playing every level. And I'm like, wait, I never went there. Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this whole time, I could have been just skipping whole levels. It's pretty easy to tell from that little snapshot whether or not a level is going to have some gimmick in it, or whether it's going to be yet another, like, platforming challenge using normal controls.
But it's like every level has a gimmick in it.
Every level has a feature.
Yeah.
Many of them have gimmicks. Okay, the one where you put the Kirbys in a tank, and then you ride around in a tank, and you shoot your various Kirbys out of it.
Yes.
That is a gimmick.
I love that level.
The level where you get walls that block you off, and then for the next 30 seconds or minute, meteors or lava rocks rain down from above, and you have to flick the Kirbys into them before they crush you. That's a feature, because you're still using the regular game mechanics. It's just you're inside this set piece for a fixed amount of time, and you have to deal with it.
So there are a bunch of good gimmick levels, but, like, every level has some, like, wacky feature to it that's like, oh, it's this level.
I would remove the adjective good from that. I didn't feel any of the gimmick levels were any good at all, and I felt it was particularly vile any time I came across one.
I loved tank level.
It was pointless. It was way too easy in the fourth area of the game. You know, so its challenge level was inappropriate for where it came in the sequence. It used completely novel rules, failed to explain them, and then it didn't matter because it was so easy anyway. So it's like the whole thing didn't mean a damn thing or make a difference.
I had a pretty hard time with that level.
I mean, I pointed and shot at things. It took me two times through to get all the medals because at one point the whole tank does like a jump, and if you're not expecting it or don't time the shot right at random, then there's this one medal
that'll sort of pass you by. I didn't like that one, but I got that one.
I shot it at things. I did go into it with 10 Kirbys, though.
I went to it with fewer than 10 Kirbys.
That probably made it way, way harder. And that's another thing about this game, is that the difficulty in many cases, I would say almost all of them, is totally modal. There's a way to play the game where you go in with 10 Kirbys at all times, and you steamroll the level, and you pound through enemies, and that's like, boom, it. And there's another way to play where you have just enough Kirbys, and you have a hell of a time getting through things. Even like going in with 9 is often way, way different than 10. For instance, with the with the enemies who are 4 times the size of their regular forms, so you have this little like scrub brush enemy who spits poison or whatever, and he's little and you can take him down with 1 Kirby. Okay, well, there's those guys. They look exactly the same. They probably use the same like sprites or whatever. And he's 4 times the size, much larger. And in order to pummel him down in one go, you need all 10. If you pummel him with 9, he will shake them off at least once. This makes things take much longer and throws your Kirbys into danger because it separates them, and the Kirbys are at their most random and foolish when they're most separated because, you know, they're... Even if they're interpreting your orders well, they're all acting on different orders. Because, you know, like, this one is, like, vector that way, this one is vector the other way, because they're trying to get to the same point. So, yeah, there's a modal difficulty between, like, 10 Kirbys and less than 10 Kirbys that I figured out really early on. In particular, whenever a level threw anything at you that had the number 10 on it, and it was just like, okay... Only 10 Kirbys will be heavy enough to press this switch, will be, you know, weighty enough to pull this route, will be buoyant enough to make this thing... I don't know about it. It was mostly pressing switches and pulling routes. But that made me say to myself, okay, I want 10 Kirbys for every level. I don't care what the like level requirement says. And after the like first level, which was usually a gimme as for like fruit, so they like... In between worlds, take away all but 1 Kirby, and then the first one that you can go into is the only one you can go into because it's the only one that allows you to do 1. That's just a fruit bonanza, and you get like a couple Kirbys back. Yeah, I would always repeat that, even if I got all the medals in it, just to get the 10 Kirbys so that I could go through the remaining levels with 10.
We did this completely differently.
Yeah.
Like, I liked having 10 Kirbys, and I'm like, okay, well... It says 6, and I have 8. We're probably fine. That's 33% more than it says.
If the level said 6, I would go get 10. I'm like...
But it says 6.
Modal difficulty. I'm not going to make things as hard on my... I'm not going to make things harder on myself than I have to. It just gets so much more straightforward when you have 10, and you can like one-shot the big guys, and you can pull all the things that say 10, and you can step on all the things that say 10 right away. The game really expects you to have 10.
Levels.
Also, what were the points about? You did get scored. Now, this was neat. You did get scored at the end, graded, I should say.
They give you a star. Yeah. Or don't.
Yeah.
Depending on how safely you played the level, you get a gold star. If no Kirbys took damage, you get a silver star. If no Kirbys got turned into ghosts, and you get a bronze star if none of the ghosts actually floated away.
Yeah, if you fail to capture a ghost, I guess I forgot to mention that before. He'll just float up to the top of the screen, and then he gets, like, subtracted from your Kirby total. There are other things that can subtract your Kirby total, but they tend to be, like, parts of the level where you're just going too fast to ever get back to the ghost guy, because he operates on, like, ghost physics, which is, I am floating towards the top of the screen, ignore obstacles, and you're flicking guys who, you know, obstacles can stop, and it's like, eh. Yeah. So, yeah, and then... Oh, there's halfway points in the level, in every level.
Yes.
There's, like, a secret door.
You can only use it if you've already beaten the level
yes.
once.
And then...
And you don't get any stun.
You go into the big slingshot, and you yank back on the slingshot, and then they go to the end of the level. Now, I never understood those. Because I used them a couple times when I just wanted to, like, collect a medal, use the shortcut, and get out. Because they were in logical places to do that in the early levels. In the late levels, they would either, like, give you the escape point right away, or at a place that just wasn't advantageous to doing anything with it or collecting anything. And that's when I, later on, discovered the feature where you can actually press the start button and escape the level that way. You just undo and go out, which completely obviates the need for that halfway point door.
Well, so if you press start and go out, it reverts to whatever state you were at before
yeah.
you went in.
I mean, that's a shortcut to resetting the game and just getting back to that point.
But if you're trying to collect stuff or increase your Kirby's, then you do actually have to finish the level one way or another.
That's true. That would be a difference between just escaping the level and using the door. But I guess my point is that the door doesn't even supply that baseline functionality in a lot of the levels. There is, like, literally nothing you can do before getting to the escape door that would be, like, advantageous to your cause. And then you go further on in the level and you can no longer get back to the escape door. And so I'm like, what is this even doing? Why is it here? Why would I want this? They were also, like, hidden, air quotes, but it was always completely obvious where they were hidden. Like, you would walk along and be like, oh, this piece of the wall looks different. Boop. Ta-da!
And the door comes out.
Yeah.
But it's not always... The hidden door isn't always the slingshot door. Sometimes it's just a special area.
Wait. What?
There would sometimes be just, like, little hidden doors that would take you to side areas.
Right, but they look different. The
right,
slingshot
door
always has the
little... But a lot of the time, the way in which they are hidden would be the same.
That's not the case, though. They would be hidden in different ways. There was this... And they were less obvious ways, which made it feel rewarding to find them. Because there was a very specific look to the hiddenness.
I basically never used
the
slingshot doors anymore.
I know, right? I mean, I did it, like, a couple times to see what it was, because they, you know, when the first one you see gives you a little tutorial, it's like, by the way, you can escape the level. I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat. And then later on, I see more levels, and I'm like, that's not so useful. I wonder why it's even here as a game.
I mean, like, thinking back, I don't think there were any levels where there is nothing to collect before the slingshot door.
Any given of the first four in Day-Day-Day Resort.
Day-Day-Day Resort is, like, such a weird level, though.
Yes, it is, however.
It's weird as heck.
But yeah, the first four...
I don't expect the slingshot doors to do anything for me in there.
The first four were all gimmicks.
Yes.
And they were... kind of fun and whimsical. I was like, oh, now I'm playing pachinko with my Kirbys. That's wacky. Hey, and it was kind of lighthearted and a good break in between, like, what you had been doing up to that point and the rest of the levels of that stage, which were actually, like, more involved and more challenging. But I think four was too many. It's like, okay, yeah, now I've had my, like, resort fun. Can I continue on with the fighting?
But you didn't have to do all four of them unless you're Kaz.
I guess I did them in the exact wrong order to have to do all four or something. I don't know. Also, I wanted all the medals anyway, so I had to do it.
Yeah, that's like, I didn't... I went back later for them. I'm like, oh, that level looked like it had a fun game in it. Let's play it. Oh, yay!
Yeah, but as far
basically,
as the escape...
I think I enjoyed this game more because I am literally a child.
I have a feeling you did it closer to what the designers intended. Because they... I mean, a lot of these features are kind of fail-safes against not having enough fun with the game. You know, it's like, well,
I love having fun.
There's these levels, but you don't have to do them. Go at your own pace.
Yay.
Take as much time as you want.
Love
you know? It. You know, well, for this obstacle, you need 10 Kirbys. Better go get them for this one thing. It says 10 on it.
I'll come back later.
Okay, well, that's fine. You can still finish the level.
Yay!
Ooh, it had unlockables, too.
It had a ton of unlockables. Holy shit, yep. The unlockables in this
it
goddamn
had,
game.
Well, I mean the, not the checklist, but the...
No, the extras.
The extras, right. So there was something like...
Holy crap.
15 extras.
There's some effort put into the fucking unlockable, like, side games in this. There was, like...
Well, into their sheer number, perhaps, but... Like the any individual one was sort of like, oh, okay, well, I got this, got the gimmick now, and then it continues on for like way longer than I expected. I'm like, wow, jeez.
Like there was one that was like essentially Kirby's Pinball Land.
Hmm.
And that was great.
Pinball.
I loved it.
Oh man, I must have missed that one. Well, I mean, I unlocked all of them. I just.
Yeah. There's the one that's, like, sort of RPG-themed, but it's mostly just, like, a little timing game.
Yeah.
But it's sort of cute to see
I played
see
the crap
the
out of that
Kirby
one, because it was really satisfying.
It's also cool to see all, like, because he fights, like there are a lot of throwbacks in these side games.
It's like, fight the Meta Knight.
So it's, you know, if you're like me, and you've literally been playing this game for, I guess at this point, two-thirds of your life, you know, it's neat to see the throwbacks, and, you know, as much as it's not good to pander too much and fill up too much with old things, it's good to remember the old things, you know, like...
That one also had some rockin' music in it. I really liked the music in the RPG-themed timing thing.
Yes. There was a game that was a vertical shooter that had a neat sort of way of being played. You still played it with touch controls. You would collect extra Kirbys that would each have their own little shot. But when you told them to go somewhere, they wouldn't all move simultaneously. They would move in sort of like a chain.
Yeah.
Or a trail.
So it was like having a Toho game where you had nothing but options. They followed options rules for moving.
Well, except the options are also ships because they can be damaged. And taken out. But that was neat. I liked that game a lot. The Ranger Patrol EOS.
Yeah. I could take or leave it. It felt too much like they understood how dangerous certain obstacles could be. Because, okay, what would happen is you'd have your 10 Kirbys, right? Because you always have 10 Kirbys. And then you go and there's part of the level that's too hard... And then you lose two of them, and then immediately afterward, there's an opportunity to get two more. It's like they knew. And I'm like, Well, are we really designing the challenges correctly if we completely expect all the time for the player to lose two of these? It's sort of like how the...
Why let the players use more healing surges between encounters?
Wait, I feel that's not really an appropriate comparison. I was going to compare it more to the...
Just put in some kind of comparison involving, like, the use of resources in any other game.
The DK barrel is sort of where I'm going with this.
Okay.
How, like, after a given, like, sort of challenging part of the stage, they'll give you a DK barrel so you get back the monkey that you're missing. But not all of those... Because the benefit of getting a DK barrel back was only, like... At a maximum 50% of your like total effort, right? So there was a very fixed amount of reward or resource there. Whereas with 10 whole Kirbys, you can like scale up the like challenge or reward to suit that. And that's too much, is what I'm saying. So, like, having a sort of challenging part, putting a DK barrel after it, most of the DK barrels you don't even need, because, you know, you figure it out and then you get through. But the part where, it, you know, it's a space game or whatever, and it's so damn challenging that they know for a fact you're going to lose three of them, and then there's three more after the fact. Like, what's even the point of the challenge after that? Ugh.
Well, like, if a good performer loses three here, then, like, an average performer would lose more than three. A bad performer would lose even more.
In concept, sure. But I don't know how closely this game matches up to that idea. I didn't feel like there was a lot of room for different performance in what I did in that game. That's really what I'm getting
at. That's Ranger Patrol Eos, which is a side game in Kirby's Mass Attack. Kirby's Mass Attack. Kirby's Mass Attack?
That one did have a lot of effort,
though.
What did you
think of the visuals? I thought they were great. I thought it was really easy to tell what any given thing on the screen was at any time.
Well, except when they intentionally obscured it with smoke or with darkness.
Levels features that you get a silhouette.
Yeah. The darkness, too, that was...
Yes.
That was pretty rude. Especially since most of the enemies in the darkness would actually behave differently.
Yes, so. They were much angrier.
So yeah, don't play this one on the road, kids. If you can't completely see the screen, oh boy. You're going to get crushed, you don't know why. It's dark.
We'll get crushed.
I mean, when they implemented the sand screen, they always did it well. So, like, turning things into silhouettes, intentionally, like, making certain blocks appear the same way even though there weren't blocks there. That turned out pretty well in the couple of places that they did it. I could easily see it going south, so I'll give them that one. Like, that was a good example of, like, playing with players' expectations. You know, they have played the game enough up to this point, they expect certain things to happen, and then one at a time, you remove them and then say, okay, now deal with it. Aha! But what if the enemy was only a silhouette? You know, that was good. Because it was designed with the kind of, like, colorblind neutrality in mind, you know? It doesn't matter what kind of player you are. Everyone gets the same penalty in the smokescreen and everything. It's very good. The gimmicks were stupid. The balloon level. Where you have the Kirbys, and you're in a hot air balloon, and then you have... you have to guide the balloon around by moving the Kirbys to one side of the balloon or the other side of the balloon. I was miserable in that.
I thought the balloon was okay, but I liked the Leaning Tower better.
Leaning Tower was definitely better, and the two places it came up, it made sense. And it was
also terrifying.
Also awful. This was one of those levels that makes me, like, fight against the very control scheme of the game. And that's really, really frustrating. I feel that frustration does not belong in a game of this style. Put another way, if I want a challenge in a game, which I often do, I don't want the challenge to be because the controls are hard to work with. I want the challenge to be because the controls are perfect and I am imperfect. You know, I have to do better. Ugh. Let's see. Okay, so the
music
gimmick.
Got a lot of
tower.
Throwbacks to Kirby's Air Ride. You ever play Kirby's Air Ride, Kaz?
No.
Then... You didn't enjoy those throwbacks as much as I did, I'm guessing.
Which throwbacks do you mean?
Let's see. In some of the sort of volcano-themed levels, they used the Magma Flows theme, which is the fire course in Kirby's Air Ride.
I mean, I remember riding on a big turtle and having to like stop the turtles' barriers from being destroyed or intentionally destroy the barriers or something. And then you could get to the door underneath before he like dove off a cliff. Yeah.
I don't know about that. I destroyed the barriers as fast as I could because I assumed that's what I meant to do. That's what I needed to do.
Right, but how is that in Kirby's Air Ride is what I'm asking.
I didn't know. Okay, let me try this again.
Okay.
In the music,
mm-hmm.
the soundtrack for this game, there were throwbacks to Kirby's Air Ride. In some of the levels in level 4, where you're in a volcano or something, they used the same music track as they did in Kirby's Air Ride for the sort of the volcano magma level there called Magma.
See, I missed the music part of that.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about a level design thing.
No.
Because throughout the game, the music was between serviceable and repetitive, except for that one track from the like RPG thing, which was like high octane and also not too repetitive because I only played that game for like a minute, because that is a really small and short thing, so like appropriately
we'll
sized.
That the soundtrack overall, not quite so memorable.
Yeah.
Like, I mostly am remembering the Kirby's Air Ride arrangements.
Yeah, right?
Because I played that a lot and listened to that soundtrack a lot.
Yeah, also it came through on, like, actual speakers and, you know, was a full-on orchestra version of whatever.
Man, Kirby's Air Ride did have a really good soundtrack.
Okay. Best feature of the game, right? Give it.
It's got Kirby's in it.
No.
Cute as
well,
hell.
I mean for. Okay. Yes. Okay. I suppose I could have phrased it as a question.
Look at him! Look at just the goddamn box of the game. You got 10 little Kirby's.
Yes, you do have
precisely stuff.
10 of them in all.
This is so cute, and they're all doing stuff. One of them is like angry,
they're
but
getting
then some
a spider,
of them aren't.
And
they're fighting a spider.
They're fighting a spider.
And one of them
is underpinning the fact that you're supposed to have 10 of them, and it's like split into 10 Kirby's, and 10 little Kirby's. All right, the best feature I felt was certain mini bosses, and certain bosses. Their boss design was very, very clever given the interface, and I was going through like the challenge lists because after you unlock the first like 15 unlockables, the only other things that unlock after that point, collecting more medals unlocks those things, by the way. So that's also why I wanted to collect all the medals. You unlock the first 15 unlockables, like bonuses, and then the rest of the medals go towards unlocking more of the checklist. And the checklist is things that you can do in the levels to accomplish the checklist. That's it. You know, it's just sort of like achievements, because all games have to have achievements nowadays. Which is vile, but you know, there you go. And many of them were simple and logical. It's like, oh, so this, watch out for this enemy, and it's like a gold version of a Waddle Dee or something. Kill the gold Waddle Dee, and you get
kill
it.
The golden Dee.
You know, and that specific enemy will like run away and actually be challenging to kill. So it's like, oh, okay, it's a head hunt. Fine. And there are lots and lots of others. Most of them, like any of them that are like a gimmick level, the checklist thing is do the gimmick perfectly. You know, don't take any damage, don't lose any woozles, collect all of the fruit in a given stage, that kind of thing. But up to that point, I'd been collecting medals, and I started unlocking more of the checklist than I could have accomplished up to that point. So I was unlocking checklist items for future levels, and I noticed that one of the checklist items said, defeat the boss of stage 4 using only one Kirby. So that was the first
stage
time.
Stage 3 or stage 4?
Stage 3, actually.
Yeah,
you're right. I get them. Because I was thinking second to last stage before I remembered that there was a fifth one. Yeah. So defeat the boss of stage 3 with only one Kirby. So that was the one time that I went back and intentionally sandbagged all my Kirbys and then went and did that boss the first time. I didn't want to approach that boss without, you know, rising to the challenge. And that was also the first level that took me more than 3 tries to do. Because I went for the checklist thing right away. I also felt really good about myself when I succeeded, actually. And it felt more like a real challenge and a real game. Because, again, the control system is the best when you only have the one guy to worry about. And you can tell immediately whether or not he understood your order and is following it. Whereas, you know, with the 10 of them, it's hard to tell in an instant how many of the 10 immediately followed your order or not. Or, like, who's in the... Yeah. You get the idea. But that boss was really good. Many of the mini... I want to say all of the mini bosses were good. They established what you're supposed to do. They made sense given the control scheme that you have. And they played on known things up to that point in the game, giving you the ability to figure them out right away and even behave inventively to your advantage. This is the ideal mini-boss. It's wonderful. He shouldn't just be like a huge version of a small enemy who has lots of health. That's stupid. He should be his own unique thing and have just what I said, the whole like variation of known quantities thing.
The gear guy.
The gear guy in particular was really, really creative and well thought out and well designed.
That was a good mid-boss. He was hard.
Yes. That was the other excellent part. It's like, hey,
but
here's
this
challenge.
You always knew what you needed to do.
Yeah. For certain moments in that fight, it would actually be impossible to open him up.
But you'd instantly know that it's impossible.
They give you that ability to understand and know.
It's like, once you know how the Gear Boss works, you have an extremely perfect awareness of your situation in that boss fight. Well, we had the Eel Boss, which shows up a couple times.
Yeah, Eel Boss was not as good.
And becomes harder in the way that's sort of obvious for him to become harder by giving you fewer places to hide.
Any of the underwater stuff was kind of iffy.
Underwater was challenging.
They had, like, underwater rules and then double underwater rules where your, like, oxygen meter ran out quicker.
Yeah. So, but then, like, the length of your meter is determined by the number of Kirbys you have.
Yes.
So if you go down there with only, like, 5 Kirbys, you're just dead.
Well, I mean, you go in there with 10. I don't know why you would.
Yeah, and, like, I guess that was the one time where I really felt like, oh, I really wish I had 10 Kirbys, was when I'd do an underwater segment. If I was on land, I didn't really care.
I felt bad whenever I didn't have 10. In particular, whenever one of them would actually, like, die or leave, I'd be like, no! That's 1/10 of my soul!
Yeah, they're like the freaking murder mansion where there's, like, there are these spotlights going through it, and if you're ever not in the spotlight, a ghost appears and just eats the Kirby.
There's probably darkness. And he eats it.
You don't even see the ghost go away.
There are a few things like that in the game where you don't get a chance to recover the Kirby. He's just gone.
You're like, oh, God. He gets taken away by a ghost. I don't want a ghost to eat all the Kirbys.
All right, so final thoughts, because we have been talking about this for almost an hour.
Oh my God.
My final thoughts is a recommendation for this game. It is definitely unique enough and designed enough to be a complete game and a fun one. There is way too much stuff in it, but if you take a casual approach to it and don't really care what you accomplish or not in the game, it becomes perfect, and you can overlook all of the overwrought extra stuff that they try to cram in there. I felt like it had too many levels and too much stuff because I didn't feel like any of the levels were optional. Whereas, in a sense, they are, but in another more accurate sense, if you want to get the credits and beat the actual final boss, they aren't. You have to go into every level. Because they all have at least one rainbow medal. Let's see. Other
final thoughts.
Kirby's
in this game. I don't know why the fuck why. Why is Kirby in this game? No one knows, but they put Kirby in it. They could have been goblins, they could have been slimes, they could have been anything. It's Kirby.
Oh, man, this game would have been awesome if they were slimes.
Yeah.
I love slimes. Oh, yeah. And then for the parts where you get, like, the invincible candy, you could have turned into metal slimes. And be like,
No, they just merge together into a single huge one.
And become King Slime, and that would be,
Yeah.
That would be awesome. So, like...
That is sort of the last weird thought.
So, Square Enix, level 5, guys, go get in touch with this other company.
It's like, why... Epic Yarn still felt like a Kirby game. This sort of didn't... It still sort of did, because everything was cute. But I think other games are allowed to be cute, even if they don't have Kirby in it.
Well, it had the same attitude, and you could still, like, fly, for instance.
Yeah.
So there was... Yeah.
Sort of, kind of. I like it a lot, because you got different levels, and wacky stuff happens, and please don't kill the nice Kirbys. Oh, no, they got squished.
Yeah, go get 10 Kirbys, and go
turned into
suplex
a treehouse, and squished 3 of my Kirbys in one go.
Yeah. Now, there was once when I was just, like, running through a level... And a chomp that I did, some kind of omp, he crushed all 10 all at once.
Yes.
And I got a game over. I'm like, oh, well, you got me. It's actually somewhat advantageous to have that happen, because if you die in other ways, like if I had lost 9 Kirbys and then later on lost 1, I would have to start the level again with 1. They would boot me out with 1. But by having them all die, I got to start with 10. It was weird. Oh, that was one other thing that I did have as a criticism of this game that I failed to mention, is that once you get to, 10 Kirbys, further fruit collection goes towards points, which are pointless, but tish, meaningless. And what I really wanted to have happen was for the meter to stop at 99. If I already had 10 Kirbys.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So that way, when I invariably mistakenly lose one, I don't have to collect another 100. I have to collect another one.
A random number of fruit.
Yeah.
Pretty much random.
It is pretty much random. And I would, after that point, intentionally avoid fruit so that I could keep a high fruit number for when I needed it. I feel like that was also kind of a weakness of the design. There's really, with the way they have it set up, almost no way to avoid it, short of doing what I said and saying, okay, well, shock 99 right here. Eh. Yeah. I wouldn't go as far as to call it...
Kirby's Mass Attack.
It's pretty cool, Kirby's Mass Attack. I wouldn't go as far as Medibot did to call it the game of 2011. But that's also because, Bastion came out in 2011, let's be honest.
Yeah, come on, guys, Bastion.
Yeah.
Let's be serious.
Let's be Skulls!
Skulls!